We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'm Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Hey, what's up, Pelicans fans? Welcome to The Bird Rights. My name is Preston Ellis, and I'm the host for the new home to all things Pelicans on Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Follow us at The Bird Rights and get all the latest on your Pelicans at TheBirdRights.com.
Welcome, Pels fans. This is the official podcast of SB Nation's The Bird Rights, covering your New Orleans Pelicans. Here with our fearless leader, Editor-in-Chief Ollie Cassell, I'm Trevor Ritchie, standing in as your host. Ollie, how are you doing?
Great, man. I don't know. Two wins in a row, three or four, slaughtered the Cavaliers. Things are on the up and up.
That is true. We'll be recapping the last two wins coming at the expense of...
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
The Sacramento Kings and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just to touch on that Kings game, New Orleans went down big early. I think it was 40-20 in just the first quarter. Fortunately, the Pelicans outscored Sacramento by 22 points in the second half. DeMarcus Cousins finished with 41 points and 23 rebounds. Drew Holiday and Jameer Nelson combined for a notable 38 points and 13 assists in a 114-106 win on the road. This game was only Jameer Nelson's fifth day, I believe, with the Pelicans. What have you made of his impact, specifically referring to that game, Ollie?
Gigantic. You can use all the illustrious adjectives you want because they all apply. The Pelicans simply do not win that game. And honestly, I don't think they even beat the Lakers without Jameer Nelson. They would probably have been staring at 0-5 heading into that Cleveland Cavaliers game. In that Kings game, Jameer Nelson, he came in, I think, roughly around the six-minute mark of the first quarter, and the Pelicans were absolutely getting destroyed. I think they were down by like a margin of 21-6. The defense wasn't there. The offense was not able to do anything. So he comes in, and he stabilized the blowout. I think he scored on three straight three-point possessions or attempts, excuse me, and he ended up with like 11 points in that first quarter. And like I said, even though the Pelicans trailed by about 13 after that first frame, had he not come in, it could have been worse. Maybe the Pelicans never gained that confidence. But because he was in there, the offense started moving forward. And really, the only reason I think the Kings still maintain that lead is they kept on making a lot of tough shots. Whether it was a hand in the face, some long jumpers by players who haven't shot the ball well up to that point in that game. The Kings just, I don't know, they were on fire, but because Jameer Nelson made that appearance, I think, it brought a calming influence, that veteran presence. So the Pelicans proceeded on to chip away at that lead throughout the game, and as you can see, Jameer played 36 minutes, and that plus minus of his plus 18 points, that's huge. That tells you the story of the game right there. His impact was absolutely vital and incredible.
With that said, we'll go ahead and move on into the Cavaliers' win on Saturday. First of all, if you haven't checked the game recap, that is up on my Twitter as well as at the Bird Writes. Anyways, New Orleans continued their home winning streak, now at 7 straight, against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday with a 123-101 victory. 4 of the 5 starters scored 24-plus points, and for the first time in franchise history, 3 players finished with 29 or more points. Ollie, how is the current core 4 of Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins, who recorded his first triple-double as a Pelican, by the way, how were they able to attack the way they did?
Well, it was a couple of factors, Trevor. First things first, this group is actually getting acclimated to one another. And you can tell because at first it was just the DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis show throughout the preseason, the first couple of games of the regular season, as to where they would initiate the offense and try and score, do basically everything on their own. But now the ball movement's getting there. All the players are kind of reading their cuts, know where they're going to be. So we're getting a lot of good wide open shots. And the other factor was the Cleveland Cavaliers just simply didn't show up for the game. Their defense was awful. I mean, it's hard to believe that a LeBron James team could look that bad. Now, granted, we know that he's a seasoned vet who's been to the playoffs and the finals for countless number of times. So he knows that this isn't make or break. They're just simply trying to pace and get to the goal of the playoffs starting in April. So to them, and you could tell by his comments in the post game, it wasn't a big deal. But again, you just don't expect a team to look that bad that's supposed to be that good. The Pelicans had so many layups. I think they scored about 70 points in the paint. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus were able to get to the rim at will. But what was even more impressive was the fact that Etuan Moore and Drew Holiday did as well. I think Holiday had at least 5 layups. And then Etuan Moore had a couple great cuts to where he had open floaters. It was just impressive display of basketball. And it's really funny, but I just don't know how or why Etuan Moore and who's the other one? Oh, Dante Cunningham. How that group was able just to take off, considering where they were 2 games ago. I said that the improvement was noticeable, but God, I don't think anybody expected something like this. Did you happen to watch it, Trevor? And what was your idea? And I guess I should ask, how were they able to facilitate such great offense so easily almost throughout the entire game?
I feel like one of the main things that I saw was probably the ball movement is the best that I've seen all season. There were just certain possessions where it looked like it was mid-season form, honestly. And that one possession with Josh Smith, which we'll get to later, was incredible. And I think I think it's something that they've been trying to work towards in practice and trying to work on. And I feel like that's what kind of kept the Cleveland offense off balance was the way that we moved the ball. And that's going to open the game up for players that are struggling like Dante Cunningham and Darius Miller. And that's what this offense needs to be able to be successful.
Are you referring, Trevor, to that one possession where I think they had like 9 passes, everybody touched it, and then I think Etuan Moore finished it with open 3 in the corner?
I am. It might end up, and I hope not. I hope we haven't peaked this early, but that might be the best possession, you know, that will happen this season. I mean, it was incredible. I don't think I've seen that from New Orleans in a long time.
I haven't seen it from a lot of NBA teams. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was incredible.
Moving forward, we just touched on the offense. Let's touch on the defense a little bit. Kevin Love led the Cleveland offense with 26 points, 11 rebounds. LeBron James joined him with a subpar night of 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 8 assists. Like I said, we just talked about the offense. What specifically did you see the Pelicans do on defense to limit the defending Eastern Conference champions?
The biggest thing they did, and a positive light was the fact that they were able to keep the Cavaliers off balance in the half court set, as to where LeBron James is known for trying to seek mismatches. So he'll run you off a pick and all sorts of screens until he gets the matchup he likes. For instance, in the past, Dante Cunningham has guarded him really well. And so he's always tried to run him off and try and get switched onto a guard. Well, he did that several times last night. And you know what? Both Drew Holiday and Etuan Moore stood their ground. He tried to back him down. And granted, he did make a couple of fantastic fadeaways, like mid-range fadeaways from about 10 to 12 feet. But for the most part, they kept him out of the lane, kept him off the free throw line. The biggest detractor, though, with this defense, and it's been like this since the season started, Trevor, is the fact that they give up too many easy points. And DeMarcus Cousins noted that in the post-game comments. He said the Pelicans just have way too many breakdowns still, and, you know, they let the opponents waltz on in. And, you know, I remember clearly seeing that at least several possessions. Like, for instance, there was this one where LeBron James was able just to, like, fake a pass to the left corner. He was staying roughly at the top of the left key. And by doing that one motion, three Pelicans jumped to the left, and he had – it was like parting of the Red Sea. He had an easy drive, big tomahawk dunk. I think it happened in the first quarter, or it was at least in the first half, and, you know, everybody's just watching it. Just, there was a couple other plays like that where, you know, the defense just completely either missed rotation or for whatever reason they failed, and it was usually in transition. That's still a sticking point. I think the Pelicans gave up, what was it, Trevor? I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if you do, but it was roughly around 17, 18, 19 fast break points. And considering Cleveland couldn't, you know, get anything going the entire game, that's a lot. So imagine if the transition had been tighter. This would have even been a bigger blowout. And Cleveland probably doesn't even, you know, make that comeback in the third quarter where they seize the lead momentarily. But overall, I don't want to, you know, dwell on that too much. The Pelicans know they have that issue with breakdowns. But for the most part, the defense, I agree, was a positive. They were up in people's faces when they were set. They didn't let switches bother them. And that's, you know, that's what the Cavaliers do. That's how they run the successful offense. They look for those mismatches. LeBron creates, and then he finds open shooters. Kevin Love was able to get loose just a little bit in that start of that third quarter, and I think he ended up like 5 of 6 from three. That pretty much spirited their comeback, but thankfully the Pelicans shut that down, and outside of that momentary glitch, defense played a pretty good ball game.
You did mention that surge that Cleveland had in the third quarter to kind of get back in the game, but once LeBron James sat to open the fourth quarter, Gentry kind of countered by putting Davis and Cousins back in the game. Anthony Davis had a stretch of 12 straight points and helped increase the lead from 6 to 14 in a span of less than 2 minutes. What did you see in that span from Anthony Davis? You were there. Can you just comment on that? I mean, essentially, that's what secured the win, Ollie, right?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I'm glad some people on social media picked up on Gentry making this move, because to close down the third quarter, a lot of coaches would kind of panic to see such a big lead dwindle where they may go ahead and run their starters longer. But Gentry still stuck to his rotations, rested AD, rested DeMarcus. So to start the fourth, it wasn't a big deal to have, you know, those big guys back on the floor together, and it was a great move. They took advantage without LeBron on the floor. They couldn't score on one end. Meanwhile, the Pelicans, and thanks to Anthony Davis, just completely massacred the Cavaliers for a period of about 2 to 3 minutes. I don't know if I have seen Anthony Davis do a lot of wonderful things for stretches, but I don't know if we've ever seen him display such a versatile all-around game. He nailed those 2 3-pointers, and it was nothing but net. He had a follow-up dunk on a Cousins miss. And then I forget how he scored a couple other. I know he had a couple at the free throw line, but yeah, he was just incredible. All night, the Cavaliers couldn't slow him down. Tristan Thompson was always a step slow. He could get up and around Kevin Love easily, and the help was non-existent. So I honestly don't see how these guys can't do that every game if they put their mind to it. You know, it was sad that they lost that lead, but for them to be able to fight through that adversity, and that was what I made a big point in that Kings game. They were down big, and a lot of fans were already jumping off the bandwagon. Trevor, I don't know if you picked up on that in social media. Some people are calling, you know, making fun of Drew Holiday and his contract. asking to see Gentry get fired, Dell Demps get fired. I mean, literally, people are already, you know, just to quit on the team 5 games into the season. And then, you know, a game later, here we are, game 6, now everybody's talking about the team being legit. And all it took was the team to play a little bit better and the role players to step up, which they did. And that's what we saw, that these guys are kind of learning how to win. And that is vital in this league. And a part of that is the fact that we have 2 All-NBA players, but the other part is that we have those vets that were brought in. And I know this answer is getting a little long-winded, but it's important to note. And that's why I was high on the team that was assembled. But then once Rajon Rondo got hurt, I knew that this team would take a step back. That's why I thought they'd start 1-3 out of the gate, missing Rondo's leadership out there. And they were going to heavily rely on him to run the offense. It was obvious. But the team, and great move by the front office to recognize that. They didn't want to let Jordan Crawford go, but they simply had to bring in another solid bet with a decision-making bet in Jameer Nelson. And since then, wow. We're kind of seeing it all come together. What do you think, Trevor? I'm curious to hear your opinion on what, because I'm pretty sure you've caught every game. How is this team evolving, and do you see this trend as something they can sustain going forward?
It's an evolution on the court, Ollie, but I feel like I definitely hear your optimism, and your optimism has stayed consistent throughout the preseason and the start of this season, and you remain level-headed, and I feel like that's one of the things that the New Orleans Pelicans have done so far as an organization, despite Solomon Hill going down, despite Rajon Rondo going down, that they knew after the Warriors game, we can compete with anyone. They go down big against the Kings, and DeMarcus Cousins said they kept the right mindset the whole game. They knew they could come back. They knew they could do it. And then the same thing, I mean, you were there. We all heard what the players said. If some of the fans didn't, go check the Pelicans' Twitter and some other things and see what the feel was like from that team after Saturday's win against the Cavaliers. They feel like, despite injuries and despite everything, that they can compete with anyone. And if you don't believe it, you can't do it. So regardless of what people think about how they play on the court, how they're running their offense, how certain sets go, what happens with the breakdowns, at least they believe. And if you believe, you have a chance against anyone, especially when you have 2 players, like you said, Ollie, that are all NBA caliber. DeMarcus Cousins right here, right now, is MVP caliber. And it's cliche. It's as cliche as it can get. But that mindset is the number one thing that you have to have to be able to compete with these teams like the Golden State Warriors, like the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in a Western Conference that's so tough, it's something that's vital. And I feel like this team, confidence-wise and buying into each other, it's as high as it's been that I've seen while I've been a Pelicans fan, Ollie.
Great answer. Couldn't agree more. A lot of people, you know, dismiss the fact, Trevor, that this game is a lot more mental than it is physical. As long as you're healthy, it's really, truly a mental game. I mean, it doesn't matter in the talent disparity in a lot of games because, you know, it's rarely going to be blowouts. And we've seen it throughout, you know, year after year, even this season. I mean, look at the start the Magic have had. And they've beaten several good teams, both the Cavaliers and the Spurs. All it is that confidence. All it is that will and understanding. And I mean, you said it best. This team has it, and they have that belief. And I honestly can't recall the last time they had it either. I mean, granted, they made the postseason a couple of years ago. But you know what? They were so young back then, and it wasn't an assured thing. And every win seemed more like, wow, maybe we can do it. Because for the longest time, I know, they were not able to go on winning streaks that season. They weren't able to sustain the success they needed to. And I simply think it was because of the lack of that faith and belief and experience. And that is something they do have. So it's very important to note that. For those people that may think this may be a flash in the pan, you've got to realize what they have now on that roster. I don't know. I mean, again, you don't want to get too high because it is so early. You don't want to drink too much Kool-Aid, but it's definitely a different team, and it's definitely a different vibe in that locker room.
Just a side note, you touched on the front office adding some veteran experience to the roster. Josh Smith officially signed with the Pelicans on Saturday, and 7 minutes of play against the Cavaliers, Smith scored 2 points, 1 of 1 from the field, grabbed a couple rebounds, like we mentioned earlier, was a part of that incredible ball movement. How do you see Smith being incorporated moving forward, Ollie?
You know, I think he's going to be mostly used in kind of backup to emergency minutes, like we saw in that game. It was great that he was able to actually have a couple of positive contributions, because I watched him play against the Utah Jazz in preseason when he was playing for Maccabi, a team out of Israel. And he looked so out of shape. He looked like a shell of his former self. And all I noticed in that game, besides his inability to, you know, go after rebounds, be that defensive presence like we saw when he was with the Atlanta Hawks, was the fact he just enjoys sitting at the top of the key, launching three after three. And you know what? He hasn't been a good three-point shooter for most of his career, but especially recently, he's become an awful shooter. He's a guy you don't want shooting the ball. So obviously, as soon as the announcement was made, most people, and including myself, were in fear of this guy's going to come in and start chucking up some shots. But you know what? Give him credit. He didn't do that, whether it was on his own volition or the fact that the coaching staff had a good talk with him on what they expect out of him. Game plan was followed. He moved the ball well. As you said, he only took, what was it? I think he actually had a couple of misses in that game, but it was once the game was sealed. But before that, he had made his first shot attempt, and he grabbed a few rebounds. So, you know, that's all you need, because right now, Sheik Diallo is not able to give those minutes that the Pelicans need. I think he picked up like 3 or 4 fouls in a quick, you know, 7, 8 minutes, however many minutes
he played. He has the ability. He just doesn't have the discipline. When you pick up 3 fouls in 3 minutes, you know, you can't get minutes. We can't afford to put you in there, and that lack of discipline cost the team in a span of less than 3 minutes. I don't think that's kind of gets molded and contributes to where he's not ready, but I he's definitely capable. What I've seen, he's talented. It's just there's no discipline there. Am I wrong, Ollie?
Yeah, no. Poor choice of words by me. You're absolutely right. I've seen Diallo ever since he put on the uniform 2 years ago in Summer League. His talent was obvious. His desire and effort was there. But, yeah, he doesn't understand the game well enough yet. And, Trevor, that's why he's picking up those, you know, fouls, quick fouls, stupid fouls. And on top of that, he's I don't know how many times he's been called for three-second violations, defensive three-second violations, but it's been at least 3 or 4 times. And considering how he's barely even seen court time, that's just way too many. So, yeah, that's what I meant. Thanks for clarifying that. Yeah, and that's why Josh Smith was signed. And it was a good signing. We'll see if it works. And I don't expect him to stay with the team for the rest of the year. You have to expect at some point Ajenta to come back or Diallo maybe to pick things up. Because another thing is that the Pelicans cannot afford to keep Smith for the year, even though, let's say, they do have that ability to use that hardship throughout the season, God forbid. But if that was to be the case, the Pelicans say they have 4 players out with injury throughout the year, then maybe Smith could be an option for the rest of the year. But let's just assume that's not going to be the case. Rajon Rondo should be back in about a month. Same with Ajanta. So right there may be his window. But let's hope that he can continue just to give them those spot minutes and make those positive contributions that I think Alvin Gentry alluded to. He says they liked him enough that he's got enough feel for the game that they trust him for a few minutes. And that's what we saw last night.
Just to give a overall view of what that win Saturday meant, even the Pelicans' record at 3-3, and this is the first time New Orleans has sat at 500 since February of 2015. It's been a long time. But up next for the Pelicans will be the Orlando Magic on Monday, October 30th at the Smoothie King Center. What are your expectations for that game, Ollie? It's a Magic team that started off well. They also knocked off the Cavaliers. They're playing at a high level right now. What do you expect?
You know, I don't know. I look at the record, 4-1, they're leading the Eastern Conference. That could mean something, but, you know, maybe it doesn't. Like, for instance, last year, Lakers got off to a quick start. I think Brooklyn, before dropping the last two, had started 3-1. So you don't know what to make of the first 2 weeks. It could be just the team is really clicking that much and they're playing opponents who simply aren't. And that's usually what happens. That's why we've seen the Cavaliers get off slow start. Golden State had kind of a rough start out of the gates too. So is this just the Magic taking advantage of other teams, or is it the fact that they're really good? I have not been able to see too much of them play. So for me, personally, it's hard to make a guess on this game. Before, I had penciled this as a must and an easy one. Not an easy, but excuse me, just a given win for the Pelicans. But now, it almost, you know, you don't want to pencil it in. Because the Magic, when I look at the stats, they're averaging 118 points a game. And considering the Pelicans' defense has not been entirely sharp throughout games, it can be taken advantage of. The Magic defense, though, hasn't been all that great either. So that's where the Pelicans, I think, have their best chance. I don't know if you know this, Trevor, but I was looking at some stats this morning. The Pelicans now have a top five offense. This is something we thought was going to happen as soon as Alvin Gentry walked through the door 2 years ago, but it hasn't. But suddenly this year, it is. It's clicking, and every game they're moving up the ranking to where now they've got the fifth most efficient offense. It bodes well. I mean, offense nowadays in this style of game is what wins you games. It used to be defense, but now it's offense. So I still think the Pelicans will win, but I don't, you know, I can't put this in the for sure column. I'll give it about a 75-25 chance that they're going to, you know, notch that win. What about you? What are your predictions for that game?
I'm leaning around the same place for the same reasons that you listed. It's just a game that I do agree with you and see as a must win, because you don't want to come off of you compete with the defending NBA champions, you lose Anthony Davis, and it kind of throws you off in a game and you drop one. You get to the Kings, you go down 20 in the first quarter, and you come back behind DeMarcus Cousins, humongous win. Then you get AD back. And then you beat the other team that was in the NBA Finals last year. And it's just a win that if they get this win, it's a whole different – it just exemplifies the feeling that they already have right now. And that's something that the Pelicans could really use with how tough this start is to run the start of this season. And that's something that we saw the entire offseason and the preseason leading in to all of this, is that these first 12 games, that if we could just come out – at 500, that's what I said in our preview podcast, that if we can just get out at 6-6, I'll be thankful. So if I feel like if we get the win against the Magic on Monday, that will set up where they can outdo that. And at that point, it's a lot better place than at least I viewed that we would be at. Just a note for that game, tip-off is set for 7 p.m. That does it for me, Pels fans. Ollie, do you have any last words?
No, man. Let's see if we can continue all the good vibes, all the good wins, and keep this fan base enlightened and shocked, I would assume. Nobody predicted any of this, you know. It was doom and gloom because of the slow start in the preseason, some injuries. But you know what? They're right there, as you said, 3-3, and got an easier part of the schedule coming up. So let's see what happens.
Yes, sir. I'm Trevor Ritchie. You can follow me on Twitter at Richie TMR, that's RITCHIETMR. That is Ollie Cosell. You can follow him on Twitter at his name. Until next time, go Pels.
Thanks for listening to the Bird Rights on Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Now, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching the Bird Rights NBA podcast. Follow us on Twitter at the Bird Rights for all the latest and best coverage on your Pels. And if you really like the show and you want to show us even more love, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Your help has gotten us to more than 35,000 downloads at this point, a feature on Blog Talk Radio on the main page, and a spot here on Dash Radio's new basketball concentrated network. And as always, if you have any questions, direct them to @PrestonEllis and we'll answer them by the next show. Let's go, Pels!
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.